and I've got you unmuted. I've got everybody else muted. We had a lot of reverb. I have the recording started, Glenn, so whenever you want to get started. Also have the volunteer and recruitment subcommittee names pulled up if you want to do a roll call. Glenn, hold on a second. Glenn, hit star on your phone, unmute yourself.
Yep. All right, can you hear now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. And yes, if you have that list, I'd like to go ahead and go conduct a roll call, that would be great.
I'll do it. I'm going to probably crucify this first name, Jeffrey Krzyzewski, and do star to unmute yourself, and then I'll mute you back if you'll let me know if you're here or not. Jeffrey, star to unmute yourself. Okay, it's Max Schultz on from North Region. Star to unmute yourself. Okay. South Region, Philip Sandy. Or Joe. Joe, I see you on.
Okay. Philip is here in my office.
Okay, cool. All right. Brian Egan or Garland from the West?
Brian Egan, too.
Cool. Wayne Dupree, I'm assuming you're logged on. Looks like Town of Zebulon's on.
Yes, I'm on.
Okay. Chief Guffey? Lee, I see you. Is Chief Guffey in there with you? I got you unmuted.
No, sir. Okay. He's not here. I think he's teaching.
Okay. You got a quorum, Mr. Clapp.
Oh, good deal. Okay. All right. And sure do appreciate it. And what we can do is first, we would just like to do a welcome to everyone, including those that have served on Volunteer Recruitment Retention Subcommittee or Committee, and, of course, those that are new to the committee. So if possible, if we could, I don't know if you want to do this, to go around and say who you're with, the agency you're with, and that sort of thing, or is it better just with the audio the way it is, just to continue on probably?
They can do that if you want to go around. I'll call out a name, just unmute yourself, and then if you want to do that, Glenn. So I'll start on the top of my screen, Joe Carter. Star to unmute. There you go.
Yes, sir. With Fuquay Fire Department.
Brian Egan.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Brian, you're good.
Hey guys, my name is Brian Egan. Currently working with the town of Cary right now today, but representing the West Side, and I work part time. I've been a long time volunteer with Western Wake Fire Department.
Thank you, Brian. Lee Price.
Yes, sir. Wake New Hope. Just sitting here listening.
Okay. Tim Pope.
Yes, sir. Another Wake Fire Department.
Chief Spain, I think you have two in with you.
That's correct. Me and Philip Sandy.
Okay. Mr. Dupree.
Zebulon Fire Department.
Who is on, and maybe you've already spoke, who's the 212-9625? I'm going to unmute you.
That's me, Daryl. This is Bud with the county.
Hey, Bud. Daryl. 7537984, that's Glenn. Okay, we're good.
Sure thing. Thanks for doing that. Appreciate you taking the time to do that. Again, I'd like to welcome those that have been serving on the committee and those new members also. And first of all, of course, just some administrative details. Normally, we actually meet every other month starting in February, so February, April,
June, August, and October throughout the year. Standard meeting is the fourth Thursday of each month of that particular month that it's held, you know, skipping a month in between. And we normally do not meet in December because of the holidays. So just a little housekeeping there. This is outside the bounds of that normal schedule. But since we it has been a good while since we've held a meeting in person, and also since we have several new members, it was decided to go ahead and convene a meeting at this time. So just wanted to relay that so in the future we can kind of plan next meeting in February, unless events dictate otherwise. We need to have it more quickly than that. And so that'll cover our welcome and introductions. And first off, our agenda for the Think of the Things is the SAFER grant update. So we do have two federal grants here in Wake County for those that have not been involved with the committee before. We have the SAFER grant and the Volunteer Workforce Solutions, or VWS grant. The SAFER grant, actually, we're in our second fiscal year of it. The first fiscal year was a half fiscal year. And so that allows for three things. It allows for 25 sets of structural firefighting gear, first come, first serve, for each fiscal year of the grant. And that allows, again, for a full set of structural firefighting gear plus SCBA mask plus traffic vest to the first 25 volunteers, first come, first serve basis. And the chief of the department actually sends that information in to Wake County Fire Services. It also allows for a travel reimbursement to and from Essential School for 25, again, 25 volunteers, first come, first serve, at the standard rate of 0.575 per mile. And so it's a standard rate for 2020. And that helps out a lot for not only recruitment, but also retention, getting people in, getting them through the actual Essential School. And then another huge part of this, the SAFER grant, is duty crew reimbursement for those five departments that participate in duty crew activities at $75 per 12-hour shift. And for this particular portion of the year from July 1st through December 31st of this year, we're offering 120 of those slots for each department. And for January 1st of next year through the termination of the grant, June 30th, it'll be 240 for each department as it stands now. And so those are for duty crew shifts above and beyond what are budgeted by Wake County. And we did have several questions, and rightly so, with the first portion of the grant regarding those, especially if a department has some of their own funding for those, that sort of thing. So the way it's defined is anything over and above the Wake County budgeted duty crew shifts. And that allows for additional duty crew support, additional volunteer support for each department there. And so that's just a brief rundown of the SAFER grant. And it is indeed for volunteer recruitment and retention, but when we applied for it, we actually keyed in on those three specific areas there. And it's been a great help so far. I know the turnout gear portion has ran very well, and also the travel reimbursement, as well as the duty crew shifts, has allowed several departments, again, to enhance their duty crew shift capabilities there. Any questions or comments on the SAFER grant?
Glenn, just want to fill everybody in that we do have the 25 slots filled up for this year, and the gear has been ordered. All of them have been sized. Ordered the gloves today. The only thing we've got left to order are the mask and the safety vest. But the departments have already gotten sizes.
Good deal. Good deal. And appreciate that update there. And it has went very well, especially this fiscal year, with those 25 sets of turnout gear being already spoken for. So do appreciate that update. And my apologies, I think I might have bounced off of the video portion of this, but I will definitely continue by audio if for some reason my video bounced out here. And so with that, thanks for that update again. Any other comments on SAFER grant or questions?
Glenn, Tim, if one of the three categories, if the money that's allocated for those categories is not used, can that money be used in another category? For example, let's say travel travel reimbursement, let's say that's not used up, can that money be reallocated for turnout gear? Just curious.
Yes, I don't believe it can, but let us check on that to make sure, because being a federal grant, oftentimes it is earmarked for the specific categories, but we can definitely ask our FEMA representative on that to actually make sure.
Chief Pope, I think Glenn is right on that. Glenn, will you go back over again? I was listening, but I want to make sure I understand it before I comment on the reimbursement piece for the duty crew spots. Is that through December, and then it's another cycle of that in January?
Yes, it was written, let me back up. That is per fiscal year, and that is for fiscal year, from what I remember, the structural firefighting gear and the travel reimbursement is per fiscal year. The duty crew reimbursement, in the grand scale of things, it is per fiscal year, but then we divided it up from July through the end of the year for this calendar year, and then for January 1st through the end of the fiscal year. So that's how that actually has played out. And I'll double check on that to make sure that's 100% correct. But I can look up that documentation. But I believe the 25 sets of gear and the travel reimbursement were for the remainder of the fiscal year last year and this fiscal year this year, as I recall.
If you would check on that, because that's going to be, I know the way it was set up is the department, again, had to demonstrate, and I'm going to just use Northern Weight. If Chief Pope had three people working the duty crew and he brought in four and five, he's got to demonstrate that he wasn't using it for two and three. Does that make sense? And getting reimbursed. So doing it through the end of the year, we would need to have them submit that stuff by December 31st if that was the case, instead of waiting. I think typically last year they waited to the end of July, not end of July, but end of June before they, I think Northern Wake Fairview may have submitted some items that were reimbursed.
Sure, right, and that was that also. Now, the as far as structural firefighting gear and travel reimbursement, that can be submitted when the volunteer completes that particular portion of it. But then the duty crew reimbursement, that was what was waited for till the end of the fiscal year, simply because of it has to be proven that the Wake County budgeted funds have been expended prior to the seeking of reimbursement. That's a federal requirement there.
Exactly, yes. So the structural gear and the reimbursement for going to the training center, not really worried about. They do that. We order the gear. They do that when they go. But the reimbursement for the actual duty crew, filling of the duty crews, is what we had to vet against their actual budgets at the end of the fiscal year. Doing that, if that is the case and we got to do it in December, it's going to be a little tough. We're going to just basically have to divide their duty crew funding in half and see if they've spent half. Does that make sense?
And I'll double check that too to make sure on that. We can double check and advise everyone to make sure before we go 100% on that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Glenn.
Glenn, one other thing too, just to let the department know, I still need fit for duty letters for Wake New Hope, Western Wake, Swift Creek, and Northern Wake. I've already gotten Fairviews and Hopkins, and thank you for that. But that's something else that we do have to have as soon as they are available.
Yes, thanks for that. And there was a fiscal year SAFER grant summary sent out, and I can resend that out to anyone that needs that also. Just let me know if you do, that outlines the requirements for submittal also, if that will help. Sure thing. Thank you. All right. If no other further questions,
hey, Glenn,
go right ahead.
I got one quick question. I want to make sure it's clarified. The turnout gear, the 25 people that receive that are part of the grant process. They're the only ones to get the reimbursement for the travel back and forth. That's not first come, first serve. Is that correct or not?
Well, it's generally, you're correct for the most part in that. The only outlier is if we have someone that does not need essential school, say they are full-time at a department that has a structured academy, let's just say, or something like that, and they are not required to go through the essential school, they're still eligible for a set of structural firefighting gear from what we were told originally on that. But that's the only variable that that we really have there. But absent that, you're exactly correct, absent that, it should be pretty much lining up the same for the sets of structural firefighting gear and the travel reimbursements. Right.
All right, thank you.
Sure thing. All right, any further questions on the SAFER grant? All right. The VWS grant, we were lucky enough to get a the first phase of the VWS grant, which is a two-year grant that just completed this year, and we actually received also as a consortium of departments the phase two grant from that same grant source. And so what that is, it's another grant for volunteer recruitment and retention, but specifically more towards geared towards recruitment retention itself in terms of it's not a monetary grant where we would get equipment or money for that per se, but we do receive from the grant entity, which is a combination of North Carolina Association of Fire Chiefs and the IAFC. We actually receive marketing assistance. We received a GIS tapestry report, which allows us to concentrate our recruiting efforts. We receive marketing materials, and we'll go over that a little bit more upcoming. And we receive other assistance, including the use of a specific website. And the website is volunteerfirenc.org, that website. And again, it's volunteerfirenc.org. And that website allows prospective volunteers throughout the state of North Carolina to look at the opportunities available. Basically, there's information on there, and then submit an electronic interest form. And when they do that, they select from a drop-down box one of the departments, 15 departments participating, which again, we are participating as a consortium of departments within Wake County. So when that is actually pulled down, they submit their information, and then we receive that. When we receive that information, it's been a great help so far. We'll give you a few numbers as to what our success rate has been. However, once we receive that information, we look at their address and see first if they're in a district that has a volunteer program. If they're not in a district, say they're in city of Raleigh, town of Cary, a district like that, we then look to see what are the two nearest, usually we give them a couple options, two nearest departments that have a volunteer program that allow for out-of-district volunteers. We then actually submit to them in a return email contact information for those departments. And due to some feedback we received at the beginning of this second phase, we also send out an email to the departments that we provided their the information to them. We submit to those departments, their representatives, the actual contact information for that prospective volunteer so they can actually follow up. So so with that, we allow them to gain information. Also, again, a department can follow up. And so far, this year in phase two, since June 1st, we've had 58 interest cards submitted. Then out of those 58 new interest cards, there have been 21 new members throughout the county that have signed on according to our VWS grant reporting. With that, of course, not all of them necessarily come from those interest cards, but those are just the numbers we have so far. With that, during the same period of time, we've gained 21 members, we've lost 17, so we've had a net gain of 4. So we are stemming the tide of retention somewhat, but of course, hopefully this will pick up even more. But the VWS folks are really have been really complimentary, saying that we have had the highest success rate of any of the departments participating or entities participating so far. Our media activity has also been up, and we see a direct spike between when we have a media contact from whatever participating department participates in speaking to the media, whatever medium that is. They then actually we didn't actually see a direct spike in the number of interest cards submitted, so that's helping out a whole lot right now. And with that, we also have some grant reporting that takes place with this. But before that, does anybody have any comments or questions on the general information for the VWS Phase 2 grant?
Glenn, was there any opportunities for the extension of this VI? I know it's not any money, but it's, you know, it's just advertising and stuff like that. But due to COVID, has there been any emails traded or any talk of extending this another year based on COVID kind of messed everything up for a year?
Right, right. And that has impacted us very much so with our outreach activities, because almost all departments have been pretty much at a standstill with the in-person outreach. But the grant actually runs, it'll be for a two-year time frame, which started this June 1st. So okay. That will be running through June 2022.
Gotcha.
So we still have a good amount of time left. There has not been any discussion, but we can actually raise that to see if there can be any extension with that. Don't know how that would play out because of grant funding, too, possibly being impacted by the coronavirus and whatnot. But we can definitely check on that.
Thank you, sir.
Glenn is sheriff with the communications company. Is she providing you the information on the video shoots? Is there anything that you need from us on that, or is she providing that directly to you?
Right, and that's you're actually rolling right into our next topic on that, which is very pertinent on that. Good proactiveness there. So with the that rolls right into our grant reporting. And so with that, we do have or the whole grant in its entirety in North Carolina has a marketing firm, Claremont Communications, that they have under contract, and they're the ones that coordinate the media outreach. And so with that, with the media outreach, we do not receive a report back from her, although she tries to keep us informed of what's going on. But what we actually need from that goes into the grant reporting. And we actually have four reports that are very simple. One of those is a media activity report, and those have been sent out, but I can resend them also, and they're sent out with an explanation of those. I can also resend that if anybody needs that. That's no problem. But there is a simple media activity report. It's just like four things that are entered into a short spreadsheet, and my video went out, the link, or otherwise I would share that. It, you select your department, a drop-down box. You just put in the date that the media contact occurred, what type of media contact it was, and that sort of thing. And then just you can just email it to me, and then we enter that into that same database that the VWS grant provides. And so with that, anytime you have a media contact, if it's newspaper, TV, that sort of thing, even if it was not initiated necessarily by the VWS people, if it was an internal thing or the news just comes to you to speak about volunteer recruitment and retention, just shoot that that short spreadsheet report after that's completed, and then we can enter it in. Does that answer that portion of it?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Good deal. Good deal. And again, it's very short. It's just about four things to enter in, and a couple of those are drop-down boxes. So very short, and that allows us to then enter it in at that time. There are a couple other reports, a special event report anytime you do, and, of course, with the coronavirus going on, this has been really, really cut back, if not completely eliminated for the time being. But anytime you have an open house, when things open back up, any contact that consists of any efforts for volunteer recruitment and retention, there's also a special event report. Just email that back to me, and we'll enter that in. Again, it's a very simple spreadsheet. And then there is another report for marketing materials to actually request. And prior to needing any marketing materials, especially when we crank back up, hopefully when we're past the coronavirus, we have various marketing materials, including, for example, banners and what they call buck slips or handouts, basically brochures, some posters. And those are kept, the inventory of that, for the most part, is kept by fire services. And so if you need any of that, you can simply request that. You can send that to me. I'll forward it right on to fire services with enough lead time that it can be delivered to you. Our large-scale items, such as banners and things like that, those have to be reused. So after they're used by department, if just let us know, and we'll get those back and reuse them for department to department. Again, not a huge issue now because of the current coronavirus state, but something for in the future. We have used in the past with pretty good success there. And so if you need those, just advise on that through that marketing materials request report, and we'll make that happen. And with that, let's see, I was going to mention something else, and it skipped my mind briefly there, but again, we have been pretty successful with that. And, oh, I know what it was. If you need any generic ones, we also have those that you can print out yourself, but we should have enough of the marketing materials to go around. The goal is to have regular outreach activities, such as going to like a Home Depot or Lowe's or a grocery store with their prior permission and having a volunteer recruitment retention set up, which we've actually done that at Fairview with great success in the past prior to coronavirus impacting. And with that, we just requested those materials to use, set up a table, gain permission, of course, from the location and did that. But hopefully once we're past the coronavirus, we can get back into that and having regular activities, which they help out a whole lot. And the last actual report is that the monthly report, and that report is due the third of each month. And several departments have been really good about getting those in. Again, it's a short spreadsheet. It just asks for the number of volunteer applications you've had, the number of volunteers leaving your department, the number of volunteers joining your department, of course, is what we like to see, and then a summary of the number of any activities. And we ask that that's turned in by the third of each month. That references the preceding calendar month. That's just emailed. You can email that to me. We put that in our database, and that goes directly to Volunteer Workforce Solutions folks. That helps prove how the grant is going, and also it's a federal requirement for their portion of the grant to prove that. Any questions on those reports? And again, if anyone does not have that email, I can resend it out with the reports and the instructions. If you have any questions, you can just let us know on that. All right, if no further questions on the VWS grant, and of course, those are just brief overviews on that, and those questions about the SAFER grant, we'll get back to everyone on that. As far as can the funding be used for other categories and making sure with our structural firefighting gear and travel reimbursement, the timelines on that, we'll make sure to follow up with that with everyone. And that takes us on to new business, future recruiting and retention efforts that we're looking at. Of course, that's dependent upon coronavirus being abated, and hopefully that will happen in the near future. But when it does clear, we'll look at hopefully having more activities. Again, the marketing materials will be available. In addition to that, the VWS grant had advertised the first of the grant possible scholarships and tuition reimbursement. That is still to be determined at this point in time because of the impacts of funding due to the coronavirus and other measures. They're still looking at that. I know there was an opportunity for online training to come out, and that was forwarded to everyone. I know a couple people around the county took advantage of that. So some of it will actually consist of access to virtual training, and then hopefully when things crank back up, the VWS folks will be able to go forward with possible scholarships and tuition reimbursement, which would be a help to everyone. And we'll look when we get past the coronavirus as to the scheduling of events. We would like to have a couple of those a month throughout the county, but that's not from each department. That's just, of course, as you're able to holding a recruitment event, something like we just discussed about having a table set up, for example, at a grocery store or a Lowe's or a Home Depot, or partnering with a local location to be able to do that, or even, of course, our standard open houses, which are very effective there. So. I'll let the call finish and stuff before we go off.
Glenn, it's Darryl. I got a question.
Yes, sure thing.
I found this stuff, and I found a folder that Nick had. So we got, and I just want to make sure that everybody's clear. I'm definitely, please don't think that I'm calling you out, okay? You had sent an email, and I'm not sure if Nick had crafted it back out earlier this year on the SAFER grant, and I'm looking at it. So we got $85,800 for duty crew reimbursement for year one and $85,800 for year two, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if did we get, if we didn't use all of that 85.8, does it roll over to year two, or is it 85.8 per year? And if you don't use it, you lose it.
Right, it was earmarked as 85, that 85 figure per year. But again, I can check to see if we can roll over any that was unused.
Well, my question is, the email said, I'm going, just kind of helping, 120 shifts for each department from July 1 through December 31st.
Right.
And then 240 shifts for each department from January 1st through June 30th. So essentially, that's 360 shifts for five departments. That, I don't think the math adds up. If you do 85.8 divided by five, because it's five departments, that would be, actually I'm going to divide it by 75 first, because it's $75 a shift. And then I'm going to divide that by five. That's 228 total shifts.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we doing 360?
Good question. I believe it was the fact that we had some unused that we could roll over. And looking back at that and looking at documentation, I believe it was the fact we had some unused there.
Okay.
And Nick was actually handling that portion of it. But as I recall, thanks for bringing that up. As I recall, that was because some went unused that we could roll that over.
So maybe you and I were kind of emailing before this. Maybe when you and I get Spencer on the phone up in finance, he can help us figure that out.
Definitely. Okay. And that was the intent. The intent, I believe, was to, now that I recall, was to take any of the unused and roll it over into that. And I believe that was the intent. But again, we can discuss that when we speak about other matters. Sure. Sure thing.
I just didn't want the guys to use 360 and also we didn't have money to pay them back.
Definitely. Yeah. Yes. And so it was, the 120 was a solid number for this year from July 1st through December 31st. And then we'll definitely, we'll look at both the 120 for this year and 240 upcoming. But the 120 was a solid number for this year and should hold.
Right. Yep. And I guess I'm having a hard time figuring out how we're going to, if they have to expend their money because so we don't supplant their budget, since their money runs through June 30th. I guess we'll have to get Spencer to help us figure out how we say that we owe Barry Spain for 80 shifts and he's still got duty crew money left. Does that make sense?
Definitely, definitely. Because of those slots being allocated on the calendar year, basically on a calendar year split rather than fiscal year.
Yep.
Yes. Sure, and we'll get with him. This a lot of this comes from the transition, of course, and we are apologizing about that, but definitely.
Yeah, we'll Yeah, I hate Glenn and I boring y'all with this. I'm just trying to make sure we got it under control.
Sure, sure thing. All right. And to that, there was a, in terms of new business, a comment from a couple departments out there that some of the departments are getting a good number of volunteers, of course, and with that comes the training requirements, not only essential school, but also individual departments. As on a case-by-case basis, their requirements for getting people off probation or checked off to ride calls, excuse me, for example, was sometimes tough to get all that training performed. And it was mentioned or asked about the possibility, and this is just for discussion here, do not know if it would be possible, but it was asked if there would be a possibility of having, for instance, a weekend training date, say at the Wake County Fire Training Center every month or a couple months, where departments could come out if they wanted to send a company or several volunteers to come out and some of those sign-offs at a location such as that, possibly maximize efforts through economy of scale, so to speak, if we had multiple departments out there, would be beneficial for all parties. Are there any thoughts on that or comments on that as to the possibility? I know we haven't spoken about it with the county yet, but wherever it might be, the possibility of providing some joint training opportunities if departments want to get together and work on whatever, for example, ladders, hose deployment, whatever would assist with getting people checked off to ride the truck and be more viable as a volunteer providing services.
Glenn, I actually have spoke to a couple of chiefs lately about the training center and some other things. We're going to kind of reorganize and revamp the training committee. It kind of went away almost, in lack of a better term, when we were looking at maybe Kerry taking over the training center. So I think from my standpoint, we're going to reorganize that. And we are definitely open to helping any department or multiple departments at the training center on the weekend get whatever they need, if it's via our instructors internal by using somebody like Brian Egan or Brad or somebody like that and paying them by the county, or putting them on Wake Tech contract, which is probably the most preferable, so you get those credit hours. But the county is definitely open to doing whatever for that.
So, Glenn, this is Tim. I know we've talked, and I've also talked with Chief Spain and Darrell as well. And so sort of give you an idea of where we stand. We currently have 28 probationary members. We've had to stop bringing on anybody else because we're overwhelmed as far as the training side of it. Our probationary requirements, our checkoff process. The essential school, I think that does a great job getting people introduced and getting them some basic training. Our struggle is with getting them qualified to serve as a firefighter beyond what essentials provide them. So, you know, just brainstorming the possibility of, you know, just throwing something out there of an essentials two school that maybe the department that have a large amount of volunteer recruitment that's going on, maybe we come together and maybe bring all of our additional requirements together and try to organize that into, you know, what you might say, sort of like a volunteer academy, where they can get their basic stuff through Essentials 1, and then to go to the next phase would be something more advanced, such as just thinking for raising ladders or pulling hose lines or whatever our requirements are. And I know each individual department can be somewhat different, but maybe us that are having difficulties in training this large influx of people coming in, maybe we could come up with something that's a little bit more efficient that allows us to move them along a little quicker. And also, at the, you know, again, the end result is to have a qualified person at the end of the day. Not necessarily certified, but a qualified person. We've got 22 right now that we've basically says, we're sorry, we can't take anybody else, and we'll get back in touch with you maybe in January. But to me, that's counterproductive in the efforts that we're doing in volunteer recruitment and retention, have 22 people basically to say no to right now. I find that hard to do, but we don't have any choice. I can't take any more right now.
Yes, it's actually a good problem to have, and we're getting that many volunteers, but also it's tough, like you say, to have to turn people away or at least suspend for a little while their involvement. And that could be, like you say, going towards the formation of an Essentials 2 or an advanced academy, so to speak, or advanced school, to where they could tackle some of the qualification portions of it to be qualified to ride calls in their individual departments. Any other discussion on that?
Glenn, Bud is on the call, and I think Brad is in the room with him, so Brad and Bud are listening, so they will begin work very soon with the group to see what they can come up with. But everybody keep in mind that Brad and Bud, correct me if I'm wrong, we're limited in the classroom out there to about 15 people right now on social distancing, so if we get anything above 15, it would have to be all outside.
And Darrell, I think it'd be fair to say that most of these skills are outside skills. And I think the essentials probably gets most of the classroom portion. The biggest need is the actual hands-on hard skills that they need to do in the outside environment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Pope, this is Brad.
Hey,
it had actually been brought up. We have, just with myself and some of the instructors that help with Essential School, we have actually discussed adding a third weekend to go over some of the other stuff more in detail, like victim rescues, that kind of stuff, rescues off ladders, then inner search, that stuff we can't cover in the 2 weekends of Essential School. So it has been discussed, and I'd be more than glad to get with you to kind of see what other training we could add to it. Like you said, even if we did a an Essentials 3 weekend where it's a little bit more in-depth, a little bit more advanced. But also, you talk about the qualified people on the trucks. Are we looking qualified people to ride the trucks, or are we looking the classes and instruction to get people certified as firefighters?
Qualified to act in as a firefighter, to operate
as a firefighter. All right, I just wanted to make sure, because I know in January we're getting ready to, it has been asked of us to try to start doing the certification classes like we used to. So our plan right now is the 1st of January is probably one weekend a month, depending on what class is being offered. We're going to start running the block schedule to try to see how it goes. But I'll be more than glad to work with you. Like I said, I mean, it definitely has been talked about because of the amount of volunteers that are coming on. I know since COVID stuff, I mean, by the end of November, this will be our third essential school we run back to back, trying to make sure we get people through because there have been so many people put on, but also, you know, maintaining that 15 person limit that we have as far as the classroom goes. But I'll be more than glad to work with you, and we can shoot some ideas around. And I think that's something we can definitely get going, because it already has been discussed as far as myself and some of the instructors that helped me out with Essential School.
And I just can't stress enough that this is a critical need. I will see come January, but it'd be interesting to see how many of those 22 that's on hold right now will still be there in January.
Okay. Well, yeah. I see.
Yeah.
I'll touch base with you later and anybody else. And if we want to get together and throw some ideas around, I'm more than welcome to listen to them and entertain them. And as far as myself and the staff at the training center, we'll see what we can get put together and make it happen.
Sounds great. Thank you.
I am with you that we come up with a unified practice and procedures for most of the volunteers. And if we can all get together at one time, I think that would be beneficial.
Definitely, and good point there that we need multiple representatives again from across the county and that sort of thing to have input for that, various departments, and try to unify our efforts there, most definitely. And thanks, Brad, for speaking on that point also, and as Chief Spain, I believe it was, just said, well, it'd be nice to get to have representatives from various participating departments and discuss that further and try to move forward so we can capitalize on our recent recruitment retention efforts.
Glenn.
Any other? Yes, go right ahead.
Real quick, to jump back to something that you would talk to, one of the things I'm trying to do is work on recruitment as far as the academy goes next year. And I have already talked with Chief Price, you know, hopefully things work out, the safest conference to come. And I have discussed with him about setting a booth up at the safer conference to be able to, you know, kind of push the academy and what the volunteer departments offer and the opportunities that are there. Is that something you'd want to be interested in, and maybe us working together and having, you know, one booth where we can do volunteer recruitment and also advertise the academy as well, as far as, you know, what the departments and stuff can offer?
Sure. I think that would be a great thing to reach out beyond Wake County, even that sort of thing, but especially even within Wake County, spurring even more interest, and I believe it would be beneficial for all parties there. And that's something I'm not for sure on the as far as like cost or anything, might even be all or part of the fee waived for nonprofit, or I was gonna say nonprofit, but that type of activity, to where it would be even more financially accessible to do that. So that could be a really good possibility there, and we'd reach a whole lot of people, because I know, correct me if I'm wrong, we get people not only from Wake County, but some other areas also for our fire academies in addition from time to time.
Hey, Brad.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've already talked to her, and I've got you a spot secure right there, so everything's good to go when Safer Conference comes around.
Thank you, Chief.
Oh, wow. Good deal, good deal. And Brad, if we could do something jointly like that, that would be great. That'd be a possibility.
Glenn, this is Daryl. As y'all are talking about that, I would ask that y'all meet with Jeff Hammerstein with Wake EMS. He can give, and he has given me some great pointers on how to recruit, who to have there to help recruit, if that makes sense. Different genres of people, age groups, and different things like that. So, Brad, I would encourage you and Glenn to talk with Mr. Hammerstein.
Sure. Great. We'll definitely do that. Good deal. And again, we would have marketing materials to assist with that, and we could really make it a very good effort for all parties involved. Sure thing. All right. Any further discussion on the need for any additional training, such as in Essentials 2 or Advanced School and that sort of thing? All right. If not, that pretty much covers what we have on our agenda. And with that, is there any other business for the good of the group, the good of committee, or are there any questions from anybody, comments, questions, especially from those representatives new to the committee or even those that have been on the committee for a while?
Glenn, I'll just say that I appreciate all your work on this. I know you put a lot of time in it. Certain that Nick, nor I, know I didn't, and Nick didn't probably have a lot of time since COVID started in March. So I appreciate all your work on this.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone that's been participating in the committee and all the fire department personnel, fire department chiefs, other officers for participating in making this a success. Because, again, especially from the, for instance, from the VWS point of view, they keep telling us how we're the premier example in the state of North Carolina. So it's been a great effort by all, been a true team effort. So we really do appreciate that. If there's no other business for the good of the committee, our next meeting, unless something comes up, of course, prior to then, and we need to meet, the next meeting will be February 25th, which should be the fourth Thursday in February, if I looked at correctly. And, of course, we have a lot of time in between, so hopefully we'll be getting towards the other side of the coronavirus by then and can be looking at resuming some of our activities. And we'll look forward to meeting, whether it's in person or virtually at that time. But, again, if anything changes, we will definitely get together before then. If you have any questions or comments, give me a call, shoot me an email. We'll be glad to speak about anything we talked about today and or any other questions. And for everyone, we will get all those questions answered on the SAFER grant that we had. We'll definitely pin all those down 100% so we can give you good, solid answers on that. And so that pretty much covers everything we had on the agenda. Anything else from anyone? Well, if nothing else, if everyone is content with calling an adjournment here, we can adjourn for this meeting. We participate everyone's, appreciate everyone's participation in this meeting and glad to have those new representatives on board. Again, I'll send out further information of items we spoke about today, and we will catch everyone up on that and get everyone squared away. And if you have any questions, please let us know. And definitely everyone stay safe out there. So if nothing else, we will go ahead and adjourn then.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks so much to everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you.